This is a HeadGum Podcast.
HM Mailbag, everybody. I'm Andrew Jupin, alongside the whole crew, Steven Sadak, Christopher Cabin, Eric Siska,
Gene Hackman.
I was going to say I play the whole.
This is indeed the November Mailbag. Let's get right into it. Steve Sadak, start us off here in our letter reading.
Okay, duped by a movie trailer.
Uh-oh.
Hey, guys. My name is Charles from Michigan. Oh, that's his full name is Charles from Michigan.
Good oh, no, yeah, oh, the From Michigan family, of course.
Oh, I thought it was Charles F. Michigan.
Charles F.
Well, it was Charles Vaughn Michigan, but they changed it.
Yeah, you know. Michigan T. Frog from Michigan the Frog. Right, guys?
Yeah, it's like a James Gray movie.
Surprisingly, I'm getting more letters. Oh, that's why. No, been a listener for 4 years now. My question is, have you ever been completely duped by a movie trailer before? Where the trailer shows you one movie and you get another you weren't really expecting.
Right, right.
Yep, I have an example. My mother and I used to watch a lot of TV together when I was a kid, mostly Nick at Knife kind of stuff.
Nick at Knife?
Night.
Oh, pardon me.
It's Nickelodeon After Dark. You're going to sit down and watch this. I got a knife.
Yes, this episode, this rerun of I Love Lucy will kill.
Yes. It will kill. Our favorite show was Taxi. Good
nice.
Idea.
Rieger.
So when we saw the trailer for 1993's Jack the Bear starring Danny DeVito, Mom Jesus. Decided we wanted to go. See, we were going to go see it, which was kind of a big deal. My mother wasn't such of a moviegoer, and I was 12 at the time.
Fuck is Jack the Bear?
He's like a I think he's like a single father.
We're going to learn about Jack.
Yeah, I see.
Oh, this Charles's letter gets into it. Yes.
Okay.
When the trailer shows Danny DeVito, what the trailer shows is Danny DeVito goofing around and playing with his children a bunch. Just a big baby man.
Sure.
So we were expecting a lighthearted comedic romp. However, the movie took a couple of turns that the trailer didn't really allude to. For starter, my mom wasn't expecting the scene where DeVito, who has a Svengoolie-like horror TV show, I don't know what that means.
I think he's one of them like local cable.
Yeah.
Like,
Robert Prosky and Gremlins 2.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Svengoolie's an actual guy.
Oh,
and
okay.
I've actually seen his show, and it's not really for me, but it's sort of one of those things where a guy wears fun makeup, comes outside.
Would children like it? Is it for his children?
No, it's for nighttime creeps.
Oh, yeah. It is?
And,
okay.
He just introduced like a horror movie. It's not like... MST3K is
I'm the guy, like Elvira.
Like Elvira.
Like
Joe Bob Briggs.
Yeah. Exactly, like a creature feature.
Okay, who has a Svengoolie-like horror show, gets blasted on TV and spouts a bunch of hate speech against Jewish people and African Americans.
What the fuck?
Including an N-bomb.
What?
I have to watch this movie again.
And thank you, dear listener, for writing out N-bomb. I truly appreciate that. I remember my mother being horrified and loudly explaining to me that she didn't know this was going to happen. Someone shushed her. She shushed up. It was very uncomfortable.
Oh, man.
Then later in the movie, spoilers for Jack the Bear, by the way, the Nazi next door, played by Gary Sinise, kidnaps DeVito's youngest kid.
Oh,
what the sweet fuck? And this movie's called Jack the Bear?
I've got to see this.
When the kid returns later in the movie, he's mute and shell-shocked like he'd gone through some shit.
What?
While this was going on, my mother had her face in her hands muttering, "What did he do to that baby boy?" over and over again.
You know what, Ma? Just pack up and leave.
Hey,
guys, can you do the rest of this? I gotta go watch Jack the Bear.
I think I remember there being a dog murder in there as well.
Oh, God.
On the ride home, my mother isn't talking. We didn't even have dinner after going home. Mom just went to bed.
Oh, was it the kid's fault that Jack the Bear was, you know, adult themed? Feed this kid.
The next day, everything was just fine. But I know that when she passed in 99, we had never talked about this movie again. Looking back, it's funny to me how horrified she was about subjecting me to such terrors.
It's kind of funny to us, too.
I was already a gore hound at this point. But I watched those when I went to Dad's house.
Right, that's what divorced dads are there for.
Mm-hmm, for burgeoning horror hounds and second presents. So, when have you guys been duped by a trailer? Thanks for the years of funny, Charles. Well, thank you, Charles, and sorry about your mom passing away in 99.
I'll say this. I got duped not in the way that Charles is talking about, but literally last week. I got duped by fucking Thor Ragnarok because I had the audacity to go to that movie thinking the trailer hadn't literally shown me everything about that movie.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And there was not a single fucking surprise left for me. I mean, I liked it. It's funny.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ. And I know there's like no way to hide that the Hulk is in that movie.
Yeah.
But like watching that scene that we all saw in the preview, it's like just fucking get to it. I know what's behind that goddamn door.
You're waiting for that haircut to happen because those wigs are bad in that movie. I don't know why. The wigs are usually good in those movies. I was duped by Watchmen. I didn't like.
You were like, this movie looks great.
I didn't like 300. I didn't like Zack Snyder, and I was like, you know, you really can't make a movie out of Watchmen. But then that trailer, this looks super sweet. And like, even now, like, if you watch that trailer, it's kind of sweet.
Because there's like legit elements in that movie that work. But
yes.
Not for the whole 3 hours or however the fuck long I was stuck there.
3 minutes with the Smashing Pumpkins, you got me.
Well, like you, Steve, I was a little befuddled by the Manchester by the Sea trailer.
Oh, really?
You were like, this looks fucking hilarious. Well,
yeah, like it's kind of just like this old mope has to learn to go back home take care of his nephew.
Yeah.
And they're just going to have an adventure. There's not going to be a house fire.
Yeah, well, you know what, man? You're not really getting buns in the seats when you fucking reveal children burned to death in a fucking house fire.
Yeah,
spoiler alert for Manchester by the Sea.
It's been a year. You had a
year. Yeah.
I mean, this must have happened to me 100 times, but I can't really remember specific ones. They're definitely out there. I did know I was excited for The Phantom Menace.
Because
the fucking lightsabers in that fucking trailer.
It got Duel of the Fates
going. It's sort of like what you were saying about Thor Ragnarok. That was,
right.
They showed the best parts in the trailer, and the movie was unwatchable. I haven't seen Thor Ragnarok yet as of this recording, so I don't know if that's true for Thor, but for The Phantom Menace, that movie is unwatchable.
I guess I also was duped by the film the trailer for Catfish, because for some reason, as I've said this before,
yes,
when I went to go see that movie, I turned to my fiance and I said, this is that movie about devil worshippers. And she said, what? And the movie started. And the movie certainly wasn't about that. There's one part that almost gets like creepy. And she we both look at each other and I'm like, this is when the devil worship is going to start. And it's like, no.
It's just some shut in, like, look at my paintings. Look at my paintings. That fucking movie sucks.
It's not very good. So that's that.
There you go. All right, Chris Cabin.
Okay. Collateral Ignorance.
No, that's the fucking alternate title for this show.
It's true. Dear WHM guys, my name is Gideon from
Thanks
Grand
for the
Rapids.
Bible.
How long have you been holding that in?
Since I printed this out for everyone.
Eric says, thank you, Gideon.
Gideon's sitting at home listening to this recording like, wow, it's the first time I've heard that.
I know. I thought of that, too, and I was like, I'm going to say it anyway.
But he probably does have a stamp with his name on it.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Rapids, Michigan.
We got to Grand Rapids,
Michigan. And this is a story about how your episode on Collateral Beauty led to one of the most uncomfortable movie-watching experiences I've ever had.
Oh, man. That actually happened to the people sitting around us in the theater. We went to see that fucking movie.
We ruined that trash fire for everybody. Earlier this year, my girlfriend and I went on a trip down to South Carolina for a week. And our trip back home to Michigan, we decided to spend a couple days with her brother and sister-in-law in Nashville.
Nice.
Yeah, nice town. I had only met them once before this, the Thanksgiving before, so needless to say, I was still trying hard to make a good impression. And man, isn't that the worst.
Yeah.
That is the worst part of life.
It sucks, man, because like I'm sitting there, right? I'm sitting there and I'm like, I know I'm a fucking piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to pretend for the next like 48 hours that I'm not human trash.
Exactly.
It really stinks.
And that I would rather be in my boxers watching fucking a Marvel movie for the third time.
Fucking Jay and Iron Man 3. It's like, barely clothed.
Well, what did you guys do? What did you guys get up to last night? I was like, oh, I didn't stay up to watch Best of the Best 3 until 4 o'clock in the morning.
For the fourth time.
I was being an adult, going to sleep,
doing things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The night that we arrived, it was pouring rain in Nashville and unseasonably cold. So her brother suggested that we rent a movie and just hang out for the night. As we scroll through the available movies, the cover of Collateral Beauty pops up. My girlfriend's sister-in-law says, oh, that looks so good. I love Will Smith. Oh, she's going to be disappointed. Immediately, I felt the situation slip out of my control. I had already...
I've been there.
Yeah, I watched the movie. I know exactly what you're talking about. I had already listened to your guys' episode on this movie for the worst of 2016, and I had resigned myself to never putting myself through the torture of actually viewing it.
Yeah, good decision.
Well, that's smart.
You think this girlfriend's sister-in-law is stoked for that fucking orc cop movie that he's going to be in?
Bright?
Bright.
Yeah.
More by like David dim. Ayer.
Whoa.
Please.
Bright. More like Dim.
Thank God we got that in.
All see, right, that good. We don't good. Need the rim shot for that. We need like the tap-a-tap, the roll-up.
Give it a little tap-a-tap.
Yeah, I don't know the music terms.
Maybe she's not.
Were you talking about a drum roll?
Yes, a drum roll.
Tappy-tap. Yeah, you know, it needs one of the tappy-taps.
I'm a baby over here, will you please?
It needs taps. That song they play when people die.
Oh, yeah, when somebody
yeah, you know what? Fucking
dies.
DOA, dude.
Now I'm imagining you, like, directing the Oscars in a big control room. All right, camera 3. Yep, get Glenn close. That's good. They're about to announce Best Picture. Can I get a tappy-tap there? Zoom in close to the tappy-tap.
They don't know what he's saying, and eventually some guy goes out there tap dancing.
Like, I don't know. No. La La Land one. Oh no.
A stringy pole.
Oh,
a brassy thing.
The maestro.
Camera move forward. Camera move forward. Forward move camera.
Pushy in.
Now we need a pushy shot. Right in. Push. No, I almost said zoom. No, pushy.
All right. Pushy now shot. After this pushy, Kimmel's going to say Mahershala for the 1,000th time.
Uh-huh.
And then an across.
An across. sorry. All right.
Not only that, but I had told my girlfriend about this awful film, going to great length to prove to her what an awful story it was. My girlfriend who now watched me pretend to know absolutely nothing about this movie. Yeah, that looked good, I said, attempting to be as cool.
Yeah, you got to play this now. You
as
know what,
possible.
Man? You're like, you're fucking tap dancing on a minefield. Like, you gotta play it really cool right
That's
here.
A dancey dance.
Oh, pardon me.
No, exactly. I've been... we'll get there afterwards. But, you've been to these situations.
Sure.
In front of the family. I was making... as possible in front of the family I was making my way into. My girlfriend, with no need to impress anyone, countered, didn't you say that was really bad? Oh, God.
You just sold me out, man.
That sucks.
Hey, aren't you an undercover cop? Wait, you said you were an undercover cop, right?
Were you wearing the wire on your chest?
It's like, look, we are trying to do a thing here. Don't sell me out.
No.
This is unforgivable. It's fucking unforgivable. Now, I can't believe this.
Now I had a choice.
I'm getting mad.
I could take it back. That's called Screamy Scream. I take it back and possibly crush the hopes of the couple I was trying to impress, or stick to my guns, feign ignorance, and let them watch the Will Smith movie they had been wanting to see since December. I chose the latter. No, I didn't see it, but I heard good things.
Yep.
As I gave my girlfriend a please stop talking glance.
Yeah. It's fucked up that she needed one.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
Well, you should have worked that signal out by now. That was please.
To quote Al Pacino in Glengarry Glen Ross, you never open your mouth until you know what the shot is. That's what we're talking about here, man.
Absolutely, dude.
You can't be fucking Kevin Spacey being like, no, I sent those off to the bank. Your money's with the bank.
You can only say that to Jonathan Pryce, though.
Yeah, that's true.
It's in the law. All of this to say, they rented Collateral Beauty, and I broke my promise to myself. It really was as bad as I feared it would be. All because I wanted to look good in front of my girlfriends. Now my fiance's, hey, family.
I would not get over this hump. This is a fucking betrayal.
This turns into Kramer versus Kramer. It's a cat instead of a kid. Have you guys ever feigned ignorance about a movie to impress a romantic interest, or am I the only weirdo? Love the show, guys. Keep up the great work. Gideon.
And yeah, I mean, we're all creepy movie monsters in this room. And sure. I mean, like, you have to play it normal for the normos. And then when you're in that situation, in a family situation, people are like, hey, let's watch this movie, and you know it's not going to be good. You're not going to be like, no. Like, you got to be like, oh, that looked good. That looked like fun, even though it's dog shit.
And it's not, I've never done this to like impress like a love interest, but I do this with like family constantly.
Sure.
You know, it's like, oh, well, that looks good. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah,
like,
this will kill 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Just sit here in silence. Like, I remember there was, I've said this before, but like, there was a time where a relative was like, fuck yeah, not another superhero movie or super whatever the fuck that spoof movie was. And I was like, yeah, let's put this shit on.
This is a thunderous difference between, I don't do this.
We all know. I will never do this.
I will say, I'm not watching this.
You'll cut your grandmother's throat. We've all heard it before.
I got an interesting scenario that it's kind of the opposite.
Okay.
Where my now wife brought her home to Ma. Let's meet the family.
Sure.
Ma wants to watch a movie. And what has Ma decided the movie will be?
Wild at Heart.
No, it was The Skin I Live In.
Holy shit!
Which is a good movie.
It's a very good movie.
And I enjoyed watching it. And I understand my mother, so it made sense to me. But it was a weird way to introduce someone into the family.
Sure.
Yes.
That's
not a fam watch.
Yeah. Not a fam watch. That's a good way to sum it up.
Hey, how about that Lego movie? You know, like, that's totally fun. That's a fun movie.
You know, the bummer about this email, though, is Gideon does not relay what these Will Smith heads thought of this shitty movie.
That is a good point.
Yeah,
I want to know if they were heartbroken.
I think they thought it was cute.
I was staring on the barrel of a gun a couple holidays ago, and it was like, oh shit, what are we gonna do here? And there was a bunch of bad movies on the table, and then Kong Skull Island was there, and I was like, hey, how about that King Kong movie? Because I hadn't seen it, and I was like, yeah, let's. I was like, oh, thank God. Like, sometimes
I like that movie.
Exactly. Yeah, sometimes you get to be the Peter Fonda in that scenario, like we're in reasonable scenarios. Right. Like, you don't want to be an asshole, Chris. You know, and be like, let's watch The Skin I Live In. Or let's watch, like, no, I want to watch this movie. Like, you gotta play it to the audience you're with.
I don't tell, I they can watch the movie. I'm just not gonna be there. There's a difference.
Yes.
All right, Eric.
Okay. Sean Connery loves golf.
All right.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you? How you doing?
Hi.
I really enjoyed the Rising Sun episode. I haven't seen it in years, and I forgot how batshit crazy Sean Connery, the Japanese, was. His relationship with Wesley Snipes in this is very much like his relationship with Mark Harmon in the
Presidio.
Presidio. I haven't even heard of this movie.
It is horrendous.
It's, but that was like, the Presidio is a movie that's like, big with your parents.
Yeah.
Really?
You talk to your parents, they're like, man, the fucking Presidio. You want to talk about a legal thriller that'll fucking blow your head off.
It's arguably a hangover movie because there's no pulse to it whatsoever.
What is a Presidio? Is it something like, if you need me, I'll be in the Presidio?
For some reason, I think it's like the liaison between the cops and the Navy.
Oh, so it's not a place?
It's not like
or maybe not. I could be completely wrong.
I think that's what they called Vader's chamber. Oh. That little ball
Presidio.
Yeah, I don't remember, but what Cabin is saying sounds kind of right. Because that movie's kind of like a 2-hour and 15-minute episode of JAG.
And he's and Mark Harmon's fucking his daughter. That's the big hook.
Okay, so
you invite me over to your house and you don't even have a presidio.
Where am I gonna shit? No, not shit. Shit.
You heard me.
All right.
Connery has to be the winner of every scene, beat the shit out of stuntman half his age, and always get one up on his co-star.
Oh, yeah.
As for the golf, Connery fell in love with golf while filming the scene in Goldfinger and has been a keen golfer ever since.
Oh, shit.
So the scenes in Rising Sun were neither the executive producer assisting on a location or Connery saying, fuck you, I'm playing golf this weekend. If you want to film scenes, you'll come to me, which amounts to the same thing, really. I think we actually pretty much said that on the episode.
Yeah.
With that in mind, what are some scenes in movies that stand out to you as clear examples of the actor getting what the actor wants, especially if the actor is also a producer? I'm looking forward to the rest of Snipesgiving and wondering if the Nexus will look at Discovery.
No.
Thanks, Nick. Well, thank you so much for your correspondence, Nick. And I actually think of Adam Sandler. Isn't he notorious for this?
Yes,
like 51st Dates, like, oh, I want to go to Hawaii, so we're doing the movie in Hawaii.
Oh, those grown-up movies are like, hey, me and my buddies want to fuck around on go-karts, so that's the movie.
Right. Not as grotesquely expensive as that, but in all... now, like contemporary Stallone and Arnold movies, whenever their character is smoking a cigar, that's just Sly and Arnold saying, fuck it, I'm smoking a cigar.
That makes perfect
sense. Nothing to do with the character.
Oh, you know what one that I always think of? The Act of Killing.
Oh my God.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, that happens. You know what I mean? Like, people do that, you know?
Or, like, guaranteed Michael Caine in that fucking Last Witch Hunter movie.
Yeah.
He's sitting because he wants to be sitting.
You ever notice this in any movies that Stan Lee produces? There's always has to be a superhero in it. You know what I mean? And it's like, I guess that's because that's his bag or whatever. Like,
he's getting what he wants so much. Like, dude, come on. Let's.
No spoilers because Eric hasn't seen it yet, but I think Thor Ragnarok now contains the worst Stan Lee cameo.
Oh, it's a bad one.
I second that motion.
Oh, boy. Okay. Monsters in the Home, Monsters on TV. Dear We Hate Movies, one day when I was a young lad, my family decided to go on an outing to see Monsters, Inc. at the local cinema. Mm-hmm. I, as an excited 6-year-old, asked to take my girlfriend along. I was such a player then, now homosexual.
You could be a player now, too.
You might be. I don't know.
I don't know the terminology. Like, I don't know this person. Terminology. Yeah.
So my mom, of course, invited her to the house beforehand while waiting for my dad to get home. After waiting for around 2 hours, dad came home and excitedly announced, I've got the movie from a guy in the pub.
What?
Oh, boy. Oh, I know where this is going. That's right. He had brought home a pirate DVD and had some bagged popcorn, not even microwavable.
That's amazing.
Oh, that's low.
It's like the leftover popcorn that the theater throws out at the end of the night.
Man, I mean, well, you can buy like pre-bagged popcorn, like smart food, or as Chris is suggesting, this man hung outside of a movie theater and asked the usher for the garbage bag.
He just brings it in. He's got two hands.
Hey, kids, we're all getting drunk tonight.
I was visibly upset and wasn't going out. I was visibly upset I wasn't going out to the cinema. However, my dad assured me it was better this way because, quote, it's way cheaper and I can drink beer during it. Well, classic dad move.
You know what? He ain't wrong.
Right.
He might not be right, but he ain't wrong.
So me and my girlfriend sat watching this handheld camcorded recording of Monsters, Inc., which looked revolting, and ate chewy, salted popcorn and did not enjoy the film one bit. Chewy leads me to believe that this was fucking movie theater waste.
Movie theater waste.
Because if you're eating a bag of smart food, man, it's at least fine.
Right. This is like what a movie theater shits.
Yeah.
My question for you is, what is the best cheap dad story you guys have? I'm a relatively new listener to the podcast, but have loved every episode. You guys are hilarious and blah, 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 blah. Keep doing what you're doing. Daniel from Stirling, Scotland.
Well, thanks, Daniel. Yeah, I mean, I think the worst, it's not a cheap dad situation, but the worst experience of watching any movie ever was, and this is not that long ago, I was at my dad's house, and he had younger kids at the time, and was like, oh, who are now older.
So that's the way time works.
Yeah, he's like, let's watch this movie that I got. And I'm like, you got it? And it's and he's like, got this movie. It was Land of the Lost, starring Will Ferrell, which is an atrocious non-movie.
I haven't even tried.
Unbelievably
is
bad.
Mark Wahlberg playing one of those ape people?
I don't think so.
He might have a cameo. It's fucking Will Ferrell. I mean,
what are those cavemen called in that show?
Oh, the Slea Stacks or the what do you call it there? Those are the reptile people.
Right. Yeah. Whatever.
But I don't remember.
It was a really horrible boot too. Like, you know, people are getting up during the
walking out. It's Land of the Lost.
It was outrageous. It was like literally just the worst on the worst.
Did you watch it in its entirety?
Yeah, I think we watched the whole damn thing.
Wow. Yeah. That's rough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mine's already infamous. The Columbia House scheme.
Oh, sure.
My father
had
jerry-rigged it to my life. yeah, that went on for a long time.
And then your dad went to jail for 10 years.
Any bad experiences with a boot, though?
An actual boot.
I just feel like, you know, every experience with a boot is a bad experience. Yeah. I mean, I never had a thing where it was like, all right, everybody, let's sit down and as a family watch this bootleg. Like, that never happened.
That never happened either.
Back in, like, when the Kazaa Soulseek days.
Wow.
And, like, way to date yourself.
When you first learned about it and you were, like, still trying to get movies off of it for some reason.
Yep.
And, like, you were like, oh, my God, fucking, you know, Blade 2 is leaked early. Oh, my God.
All right. You know what we saw? Did we all see this? X-Men Origins Wolverine, that early copy?
Yes. I'll cop to that. Yes, I did download
that. That's the only time I've seen that movie in its entirety.
Yeah.
And like when he's fighting Ryan Reynolds on that smokestack at the end, it was all just green screen.
That is a much better movie than what they actually put out.
That's a really good point.
I'll buy that. Just like boots are always terrible.
I've never actually
It's never worth it.
I've never bought a bootleg off the side of the street.
No, I've never purchased a sidewalker subway tunnel boot.
My brother did once. I think he went on a school trip to New York City. Have you heard about this place?
Concrete jungle where it turns out dreams are made.
He did bring home a bootleg, and we had it in our house for 20 years before I decided to finally I'm going to throw this away for everyone. It was Tomorrow Never Dies.
Wow,
but. Really? It was a VHS bootleg because it was back when that movie was in the fucking theater.
98 or whenever that came out. Yeah.
So I've seen that movie probably two or three times on a bootleg. That was like the only bootleg that was in circulation. Also, all the bootleg memories are flooding back. When I went with my older brother, I went to China in the year 2000.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I bought a bootleg in China of The Phantom Menace.
Nice.
And I watched the movie. And it was a decent, it was a really good bootleg for what it was. But then huge swaths of the movie were edited out so it could fit on this fucking CDR.
Oh, Jesus.
So it was just wait, what?
They didn't just do a two-discer? That's kind of interesting.
I mean, I think it actually made the movie better.
Yeah, probably
would.
More aggressive cut. Yeah, I wore out my boot of Fight Club because I just needed to. Wow. Oh, Fight Club is so good. I got to watch it every day. Thanks for the bootleg.
I caught a bootlegger one time in the old multiplayer. Projections days, dude. Because I remember specifically looking out the porthole. Odd movie to get caught bootlegging. By the way, Hearts in Atlantis.
Oh, really?
Whoa!
And I put
him in the stockade,
dude. I looked down, I saw a little red dot, and I was like,
in Latham, New York,
fucker. Yeah, and I went down and I checked in, and I was like, that fucking son of a bitch is bootlegging this movie. Mm-hmm. And went and got the manager, and this dude got kicked out. There was supposedly a thing where if you did that and reported it, Technicolor awarded you $5,000. Needless to say, I didn't see a cent of that bust.
They lost your number real quick.
Oh, no, the boss took it, man.
Yeah, probably. All right, Steve.
Talking grandma. Take it. Come on, Steven.
Talking grandma. What'll they think of next?
Shit, an illiterate podcaster. Taking grandma. There it is. The rising sun.
Uh-oh.
Hey, guys. Huge fan of the show, and I had to write in with a story about the summer of 1993 and losing my grandmother's trust. You see, my pudgy 14-year-old cest was obsessed. My 14-year-old self was obsessed with Michael Crichton, having seen Jurassic Park 4 times by the time Rising Sun was released in late July. My grandmother, who had just turned 70 at the time, seemed like a prime candidate to fool into taking me to this movie because it starred one of her favorite actors, Sean Connery.
Also, yeah, you'll come to this movie, Grandpa.
we're getting old together.
You remember me? It's your boyfriend.
I sold her on the idea, telling her that I had read the book. I hadn't. And that there wasn't anything too objectionable in there.
Don't worry, Grandma. I read the book. There's no choke fucking.
Oh, good.
I detest choke fucking.
That's how your grandfather died. No.
It probably was.
It's a character, not your real grandmother. I even talked her into letting my friend Pat come along. Oh, Pat. Pat knew it was the deal.
Pat was there for the choke fuck. He knew it was coming.
Yeah, Pat was bootlegging.
He's like, hey, Steve, did you tell your grandma about the choke fucking?
No, shut up, Pat. Nice basketball shorts, by the way. Absolutely. It's 1993. Are you going to play Mortal Kombat later? Yes, we are. Okay, cool.
And the B-52s threesome.
Oh, yes.
Man, that making the book would be great.
Cut to 3 minutes into the movie when the fucking starts, and I didn't hear the end of it. What the hell kind of movie is this? My grandmother exclaimed.
Man, that was my father's line verbatim.
Mm-hmm.
Or the shortened, what is this shit? It's happened quite frequently.
I don't doubt it.
My grandmother explained audibly in the theater right around the time Ray Wise starts going down on that woman.
That's a good time to exclaim something.
I didn't know there was going to be anything like this in this movie, Grandma. It wasn't in the book.
I just signed up for choke fucking, not cunnilingus, goddammit.
I said, diminishing my argument that I had already read it, even further. Needless to say, about an hour in, and cut to Pat, by the way, is like, oh, fuck, this is awesome.
This is great. Thanks. Thanks, Mrs. Sullivan, for the movie ticket.
Pat, stop rubbing your jeans like that.
Needless to say, about an hour later, because that also deepens the crime, right? Because at least, like, if you keep it in the family, you can yell at the kid. But now Pat's getting scarred. And he's going, oh, Mrs. Sullivan's awesome. We saw that movie Rising Sun.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Mrs. Sullivan took you to what the fuck she did?
Mm-hmm, then you're getting a call from fucking Mrs. Pat.
And then loose lips.
Dude, then someone's just yelling at a grandma. That stinks.
Needless to say, about an hour later, when the dude starts eating sushi off a naked woman, my plan unraveled. Now, the question is, get up! That's it! I'm not sitting here watching this porno 1 minute longer! My grandmother explained to my friend and I and the rest of the crowd in attendance.
Something tells me.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know what, guys? Like, tell me if I'm crazy. But it wasn't so much the sushi eating as it was the nip dip into the
absolute sake. More than likely.
That is when that movie graduates to pornography. Absolutely.
It's bum, 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 bum.
It took a full Friends 3
forever. You got a cum shot across the stage, hon. Go on.
It took a full 3 years to regain my grandmother's trust, and she agreed to see Grumpier Old Men with me a few months before she passed away. That's a really sweet story. She was a great lady, and I sincerely regret tricking her into seeing such a filthy movie at that age. I should have known better, but in the end, she turned out to be the smartest one in the theater, storming out less than halfway through and never looking back. Thanks for all the laughs, and a happy Snipesgiving to you all. Steve from Chicago, whose last name is not Sullivan. I just made that up.
Right.
Just
oh, that is so, fucking funny.
Do I guess, have any of us had a situation where a parent or a grandparent.
Well, I've said it before. I started watching Dead Alive with my grandmother, and
well, in the theater. I meant.
No, it wasn't in the theater, and I was, and I made the decision. I was like, "This is a little much." Click.
Yeah. You know, this is weird, but like I think I've said this before, like I very rarely went to the movies with my parents.
Yeah.
I never did a single solo social thing with a grandparent ever, and I got none left, so it's not going to happen now.
Didn't your dad fucking hate the Royal Tenenbaums?
Well, that, I took my parents to see Tenenbaums, and I was like, guys, I love this movie. This will be the fifth time I'm seeing it. Like, strap in. And they sat there dead-faced the whole time, and when we left, my father was just like, I thought you said that was supposed to be a comedy.
Oh, by the way, I'm disappointed in you.
Oh, well, shocked.
I'm going to use a story of mine to segue in a story that's not mine, which I love. My mom took me to see My Cousin Vinny, which is an R-rated movie.
But it's for language.
Yes, exactly, which is fine. But my fiance was in an acting class where a brother and sister team, when she was 15, 16, two 15, 16-year-old kids did a scene from My Cousin Vinny. The scene that they did, the scene on the porch when her biological clock is going like this.
Oh, what?
And it's like a sister and a brother.
That's really weird.
Come on, bro, knock me up. That reminds me of remember that improv class we took with the dude and his daughter, and
yes.
Like they always would play like a romantic whatever.
What?
Yes, it was very weird.
They were just trying to get off. There was like an exposition.
They were very nice people, but it always the scene always would evolve into they were like wed,
yeah, lovers,
and it was and what was
nobody called the police.
Hold on a second, it was Jean Reno and Natalie Portman.
What the bummer of it was this was a class on duos improv, so it was only two performers in a scene.
And you'd always have to be with that person.
And you were always with that person, so it was like Steve and I, obviously, but like that meant no one could jump in the scene and save these people. Yeah,
nobody could just yell, stop!
And like, yeah, no, there were no fucking tag outs, man. And it was always just like, oh, you're married again, huh?
Okay. Like, oh, would you cheat on me? And I'm like, I don't know, man. You're 14, he's 50. I'd like to leave now.
Oh, that was an interesting class.
It was.
Okay, Chris Cavan, we got another one here.
The last one.
All right.
Actually, yeah. And, it's about something I said. Okay. falling asleep on the toilet. Check.
Been there.
Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, a very long time listener. I started listening way back in 2010 or 2011 with Evil Speak.
Holy shit.
Great episode.
Holy shit.
And have loved listening to you guys. In the recent rundown of the Nightmare on Elm Street series, one of you made a joke about falling asleep on a toilet, which brought to mind a story I thought you might all like. I currently live in a different city than my wife, and there aren't any direct flights from my city to hers.
Well, that's annoying.
Yeah, that sounds tough. So in order to get back, which I try to every month or so, I have to drive about 2 hours to get to the closest airport with direct flights.
Jesus,
that is dedication.
I'm already tired.
You know what? This isn't working out. I'm tired.
There really are only so many good podcasts.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, let's not destroy their marriage. Come on.
Recently, a small airline began offering flights from my city to hers on small business class jets. Since I wouldn't have to drive as far, I figured I'd try it out since it would save me a lot of time and wasn't that much more expensive. The jets have 7 seats, one right in front of you when you board, and then 3 rows with 1 seat on each side of the plane.
This is already freaking me out.
I would never get on a plane that small.
Not for anything safety related. No. Motherfucker's talking to me. Like, oh, well, there's only 3 of us on tonight. Let's get to know each other. Little, fucking suicide.
It is a bit intimate.
Yeah.
I can do without that. On my flight out to see her, I was the only passenger on the small jet, which was pretty cool, and I spent the flight chatting with the pilots.
Talking to a pilot, that's pretty...
This is how you get...
I would not talk to the pilot.
This is how you get into, like, a night flyer situation.
Hey, you know what John F. Kennedy Jr.'s last words were? What was that? That's because, you know what, you don't talk to the fucking pilot.
I think this actually sounds appealing, because the thing I hate the most about flying is... you land, and then you wait fucking 75 fucking minutes for everyone to get their luggage and their snot rags and their fucking filth and to move it off the flight. So
it is a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
So if I only have to deal with six or under, I'm good.
You're off in 4 minutes.
And you have headphones. Yeah. We all have headphones.
Yep.
I have headphones. I'm wearing headphones right now.
I noticed.
We all are.
On the return trip, like a plebe, I had to share the plane with a few other passengers, so we all settled in for the early morning flight. I was the last on, so I had to sit in the last row with the gentleman in front of me and one to the right. The seat in front of me was pretty far back, so I knew I was going to get pretty uncomfortable on the flight. As I was thinking about whether to try and adjust my seat or move elsewhere, I noticed an open seat in a little alcove behind me. I thought it was funny how there was obviously an eighth seat on what the airline advertised as a 7-passenger plane, but I shrugged my shoulders and moved to the back. The gentleman to my right looked at me funny as I moved back there, but quickly put his earbuds in and ignored me. I sat down, buckled my seatbelt, and promptly fell asleep in the darker, slightly enclosed space.
I see where this is going.
Oh, dear.
God.
After about an hour into the flight, I woke up and started listening to something on my iPod. As I was sitting there, I realized, looks like there's a door I could close here. there's a mirror in here. Didn't the pilots on the first flight mention there was a... Oh, shit. I'm in the bathroom. In my defense, there was no sink, and there was a padded seat on top, of the toilet with a normal seatbelt. I suppose I must have been really tired to not notice, and the quizzical looks of the other passengers were now obviously curious about why I was trying to use the toilet before we even took off.
You anyone else watch an American Vandal? And
I've seen the first couple episodes.
I love how much that kid hates padded seats on toilets. It's a great bit, man, and it's totally true. Padded seats stink.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, I feel
like I'm like shitting on a couch.
Yeah, it's like, oh, let me fucking take a dump in this pillow.
No, you gotta go to the antique shop.
Yeah, you do. And I mean, like, honestly, though, it's that and the sweat. When you get the sweat, now you get the
fucking ass sweat, dude. You don't have to tell me twice.
So padded seats. Yeah.
Awful.
Not a fan. I agree.
The worst. Needless to say, I was pretty embarrassed, but due to the gentleman in the same row as me adjusting his seat, I literally could not get out of the bathroom and get to the seat I had been in originally. I spent the rest of the flight worried that the pilots or other passengers would give me shit about sleeping on the toilet for the whole flight. But thankfully, I'm not sure anyone else noticed. They did.
they
definitely did.
Somebody was like, that guy's still fucking up. He's still in the toilet.
They were purposely being quieter than normal so you would continue sleeping on a toilet.
All right, I guess I'm not taking a piss today.
Thank you, gentlemen, for your wonderful podcast, and I wish you all the best in the future. John in Providence.
Woo. Thank you, John, and I'm sorry you had to embarrass yourself like that.
It's rough.
Let us know about it.
It sure is rough.
Oh, I've fallen asleep on toilets before, man.
Oh, yeah?
There was a couple times.
County fairs.
No, like, if I... where I work is a movie theater, type place, and my old office was in the theater itself. And, you know, sometimes I get, like, really bad headaches, and I just need to, like, sit in the dark for a little bit. And there was definitely one time I would go to the booth bathroom and I would close the door, and there's no windows or anything. It's dark as shit. I wouldn't turn the light on, and I would just kind of sit on the toilet and just like kind of like chill out in the darkness for a little
like
bit.
A sensory deprivation
tank. Yes, dude, it definitely
I've always wanted to do one of those.
And I've always wanted to take a shit in one. Oh, how was it, Chris?
It's great.
And
did you,
I fucking
did you get naked in it?
No, swim trunks.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Did you see shit?
You can.
Now the question is, did you come out of it and turn into an ape man? That happens in altered states.
No, he came out of it and Bob Balaban gave him a joint.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Bob Balaban casually smoking weed at that party in that movie is kind of technically the best part of that movie.
It's pretty wild.
Oh, but what I was saying was I totally fell asleep on a toilet for like an hour.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was fucking humiliating.
I'm not sure if I told this story. My friend's bachelor party was in Canada. After a raucous couple of days there, I had to get a train back to New York with a couple of my friends, and I didn't trust anyone else to wait to including myself, to wake up. So right. I'm going to be the one that stays up the whole night, no matter what.
That's
bad. And it's like 5 o'clock. We have to wake up at 7. But I'm like, I'm not missing this thing. So I just have 2 hours to kill. And I'm like, trying to watch a movie. It's not happening. I'm in a hotel. And I'm like, all right, I have an idea. I'm going to go in the hot tub. That'll wake me up. That'll wake me right up. And I will watch a whatever's on the TV, because the TV in the hot tub room.
It's a porno.
No.
I'll tell you. A fistful of dollars. The guy's a genius.
No, I'm watching. I'm watching iRobot.
That'll put you right out.
And I'm also enjoying a tall glass of water because it's just left over and it's going to go to waste.
Yeah, man.
Why wouldn't you?
You are living the fucking dream.
So I feel like Tony Soprano a little bit.
Sure.
Like a low rent, fat little Tony Soprano, but I'm falling asleep in this hot tub. Like, I watched the movie, but taking like 6 minute naps and like every couple of minutes, oh, what's going on? Oh, that's that robot. Huh?
You are lacking some gabagool.
Oh, yeah, I wish I had gabagool.
I must point that out.
I thought you were going to tell the story about that time we were drinking downtown at that scuzzhole bar, The Patriot.
Oh.
And you totally fell asleep on the toilet with the fucking door locked. And our good friend who's guested on the show before, Vinny Bresco, had to fucking kick the door down.
I wonder why I didn't tell that story.
I will say...
it's a lovable tale. You know what?
I will say that one night after drinking at the Patriot, a couple pitchers deep, immediately got home at either the Tredge to Queens, and I just puked all over the bathroom.
Nothing good ever comes from visiting that bar.
No.
And one in Toronto, we were... trying to sleep at like 4 a.m. and a guy we all know, who I won't say on the podcast here, I won't say the name.
I think you mean Montreal, by the
Montreal,
way.
Montreal, yes, you're right.
Because we used to be able to just drive up the highway and you could drink it.
Decided this, a packed, like a hotel room packed of like teenagers, he decided to take a bubble bath and fell asleep in the bubble bath.
Yeah.
It's relaxing.
And I think you had to wake him up.
I didn't get that fucker. You fell asleep in an ATM vestibule in that same trip.
I did. And nobody noticed.
They did now, motherfucker.
That's WHM Mailbag for the month of November. Get your holiday tales into us for the December mailbag, man.
Disappointing Christmases or something. You know?
What did you want to get? What did you get?
Yeah.
Coming back semester of college, first semester of college.
Those are there.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving just happened. Somebody must have gotten into an argument at that table.
Right? Yeah. Tell us about that. Mm-hmm. WeAllHateMovies@gmail.com. Until the next time we open the mailbag, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.